You are listening to the Winning Edge podcast, where each week we have a conversation with a different member of the Winning Edge Business Networking Chapter located in Spring Hill, Florida.
Welcome to this episode of the Winning Edge podcast. I am your host for this episode, kind of, Chris Chambers, and we are joined, as always, with Mr. Andrew Chamberlain. What's up, Andrew?
How you doing, Chris?
And we're also joined, Mr. David Hand agreed to join us again for another episode, so thank you, David, for that.
Hey, yeah, looking forward to it again.
Absolutely. Of course, he's with future-focused bookkeeping. Andrew's with Jericho Road Ministries, and Andrew has chosen a topic for us to talk through. I think we're looking at business ethics today. Is that right?
Yeah, so we're going to look at this idea of ethics, and I thought we got a gentleman who works in bookkeeping and finance. You got a gentleman who's working with people, you know, they got big situations with their veterans and they're dealing with that. And then you got me working in ministry.
Yeah, of course, the most ethical profession out there, attorneys, right?
I did not say that. I was going in the direction of why.
See that old movie, Liar, Liar? The kid raised his hand. Yeah. My dad's a liar. You mean a lawyer?
Yeah. That movie made me laugh so hard the other day. We rewatched that. I can't remember. Anyway, yeah, funny movie. All right, but I thought, hey, our professions, we got a bookkeeper, we got an attorney, we got someone working in the nonprofit sector. Ethics has got to be a big deal to each one of us, correct?
Oh, huge.
100%.
And I would also say that if you are working to build screens, make pools, work on cars, ethics is a big deal for you too, right?
Yep.
Absolutely.
So I don't want to by no means insinuate that our professions need ethics more than others. I think it's just every profession needs ethics. And I think specifically because these are the professions represent this table, ethics is such a big deal. And I think it's a big deal in B&I. I think we talk quite a bit about when we take our pledge, you know, and our oath of like, we're going to do what we say and we're going to, you know, be honorable and respectful to all those that we work with. So I think it's a big deal in B&I. So I think it's a very important topic. Because at the end of the day, I think it's also something that helps us all become profitable, helps us all to become, to do well in our business when we can say, do what we say and so forth. So we're going to look at four things today, and we're going to really try to make this as great and as a free-flowing conversation as possible. But there's four areas that we're going to focus on in this conversation of ethics, and that is trustworthiness, respect, fairness, and responsibility. So again, those are trustworthiness, respect, fairness, and responsibility. So I'm going to start out with David today. David, when you hear the word trustworthiness, it's kind of a lengthier word, a compound word there. What kind of thoughts come to your mind as a definition and just what that means to you?
Yeah, so trustworthiness obviously is about whether I can count on you. And if we're talking about business, I think about competency and character. Because, you know, the competency is, are you actually able to do what you say you're going to do? And the character thing is, like, do you have the personal integrity to make sure that it's done the right way, that I can trust that you're going to do what you say you're going to do? And so, yeah, trustworthiness for me is really about credibility and character.
I think that, you know, that's a really good definition. And let's start out with that idea of competency, because that's important. You know, you can be an honest person and still not know how to do that job, and you could create some problems. And so both of you are in professions as an attorney and as someone who is in finances with bookkeeping, that if you don't know what you're doing, you can be as nice and as awesome of a person as you can be, but if you don't know what you're doing, it could create issues. Chris, would you agree with that sentiment? Maybe walk us through what that looks like specifically in your realm.
Yeah, so I've mentioned here a few times here over the last few weeks, but I started my firm initially back in 2009. At that time, I didn't have a whole lot of competency in a whole lot of areas, right? The only thing that law school had taught me is how to learn what I didn't know and then go figure out, all right, how am I going to apply whatever the law is currently to this set of facts? And so I had clients coming in from all different areas, family law and estate planning, probate issue came in, Social Security disability matter came in, so on and so forth. And here I was, I had to now go and learn all of these different areas of law. So as far from a competency standpoint, I was not very competent. So the question is, from an ethics standpoint, all right, am I going to charge my clients, right, the time it takes me to get competent on their particular issue? And this really comes back to a conversation that you and I had, Andrew, regarding getting a niche, right, or get a niche, being focused on one particular thing, specialization. And that's the good thing about being specialized is you now learn a whole body of law, so you don't have to continue to create those competencies over and over and over or learn those competencies, and therefore you're not then passing along right those additional cost of you learning how to help them because you already know how to help them. And so you know, I think from an ethical standpoint, right, competency I think is huge, and make sure that we're not passing that on to our clients, right? We need to be a lifelong learner, also always making sure that we know how to help our clients, but again, not charging them for those things. So that's one of the ways, you know, for me that I've seen that.
Yeah, I think it's a very, very important factor, regardless of what profession you're in, that you actually know what you're talking about and know what you're doing. I mean, because at the end of the day, there's a whole nother issue of liability that comes in if you don't for them and for you. So,
and here's what I suggest, regardless of the field or business that you may be in, again, be transparent and honest with your client or your customer, whoever that may be. If they're coming in, they're asking you to help them with a particular area and you're not 100% on how to help them, tell them that, right? I'm not 100% sure on this. I'm more than willing to assist you with this, kind of walk through this process with you. Or, right, there may be somebody down the road that already kind of is a better fit for you.
Yeah, and I'd like to give a shout out to Randy there because we purchased a vehicle with Randy for Jericho. And Randy did a great job of like, hey, here's what I know, here's what I don't know, and what I don't know I can find out.
Yeah.
And he was very transparent. And I tell you, I told him, I said, I don't think I've had any person I've worked with that's worked harder for my business. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a big part of, you know, that trustworthiness. And I'm glad you brought that up, David, that competency. But now let's hit the character side quickly because we do want to get through some of these other ones. So, David, specifically from your perspective, having that character of, you know, we were talking as an example about like, okay, taxes, that's a big deal that you're dealing with. But that's not the only thing. So when you're thinking of character and trustworthiness, maybe take that a step further for us from your perspective, from what you do, and then maybe, you know, extract that out for others in whatever business they have.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, a business is comprised of people, whether it's a sole proprietorship or it's a large organization. And so it really does depend a lot on the person. Like, this is about the person, not just the quote-unquote business. You know, are they people of their word? Are they consistently going to act with integrity? You know, basically, which I would say is doing the right thing no matter what the cost. You know, are you going to do the right thing by your clients no matter what the cost is personally to you? You know, if it's a, you know, to your point, if it's a pricing thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you know, if there's something I don't, am I going to either charge you less despite how much time it's going to take me, because I know that I'm going to have some extra learning to do, or I might simply say, hey, I'm going to have to do some learning. I can either accept you knowing that I've just got to do some extra background work, or maybe it's, I'm going to suggest this other person who might actually be able to do a better job for you.
Yeah, that's good. So one of the things I'd like to add before we moved on is I feel like in today's culture, society in particular, we take PR as character. We're using those two things like synonymous, and they're not.
Yeah. No.
So you know, you can be great at PR and still have horrible character. So I would just highly recommend all of our BNI partners, you know, really spend some time in having that character built, you know, to just say to do what you're going to say and just be honest. So anything to add there before we move to the next one?
Yeah, when we talk about this idea of character, you know, what is it? I think a great way to define character is who I am, who you are, right, when nobody else is looking, right? So whether it be, hey, I have taxes set aside, I think I can find a way to wiggle my way in and maybe it doesn't actually fit and I'm going to go ahead and do that. Nobody's looking, I won't get found out, or whatever it may be. I mean, maybe I'll charge a client a little bit more money here or there. Again, who are we when nobody else is looking? And like you said, I think it's a great point. In this day and age that we're living in, where people tend to just tell people what they think they want to hear, right? No. Tell people exactly the way that it is, right? We don't need more fake news right out there. We don't need any of those kind of things or that idea. We need the truth, whatever the truth is. Be honest with your clients. Be open with your clients and your customers. Again, be who you are, and that's gonna clearly and logically kind of flow out, and your business is gonna be better for it.
Wonderful. Let's move to this next concept of respect. And I think as we're dealing with clients, as we're dealing with our own employees, or we're just dealing with our other BNI partners, respect is obviously it's a vital thing. I think each one of us would agree with this idea of honoring the other person, if you will. So let's start out with Chris on this one. When you hear that word, when you're thinking through that concept, what are some of the initial thoughts that you have and why it's important?
Well, again, you know, I'm going to answer from my perspective, right? One of my large client base is veterans, right? I help veterans who have fought for this country, right? So I certainly have a lot of respect for individuals who have placed their lives on the line for my freedom, for our freedom. And so I'm going to treat, you know, these veterans with the respect that they deserve and their family members as well. I also have, obviously, individuals who are disabled, unable to work, right? These individuals are in positions they never thought they'd be in. They didn't want to be in this position. They want to be out there. They want to be independent. Unfortunately, they're in a position, their body let them down. Maybe they had an injury or an accident. And now as a result of that, they're not able to be independent. They're having to rely on the government, right? The Social Security Administration or the Department of Veterans Affairs to help, right, them to get through. Again, if I look at them, and I've been around, you know, individuals who have had a really kind of a negative or haven't given respect to these individuals that they deserve. And again, they deserve respect, and I want to make sure that they get the respect, give them the respect, right, that they deserve, regardless of where it is they're coming from. And I think, again, same thing. When you do that, that's going to clearly come through. So
yeah, one of the things we really stress at Jericho is, because we're dealing with men and women who may be homeless. We're dealing with men and women who may have an addiction to a substance. We're dealing with men and women who may have a need for food. We're dealing with customers at our stores. Then we're dealing with generous donors who donate things to our stores. And then we're dealing with generous donors who may donate a high dollar amount to our ministry. And we may be dealing with government officials. And so we're dealing in all these different spectrums, if you will. One of the things we really stress is everybody is made in the image of God. Therefore, you treat everyone the same. We want to honor every person. And I got to be honest, sometimes it's challenging. You know, it's challenging to respect all individuals, especially if somebody, what, frustrates you or irritates you or does something
or
like
disrespects
that.
You.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's hard, but that's something that I think that we should aim at. So, David, maybe take that one step further for us. What are some tips or some keys maybe that people could have to, you know, to learn that or to grow that within themselves so they can be respectful, whomever they're dealing with?
Yeah, since, I mean, respect is about how do we treat others. You know, trustworthiness is about kind of who we are, and respect is about how we treat others. One great tip that I have heard is we tend to kind of rate people. We may not do it very consciously, but we tend to judge people and kind of give them a rating. You know, are they above me, below me, where are they at? And what I heard was just imagine a 10 on every forehead. Put on a scale of 1 to 10, that person you're about to talk to, regardless of what you see or think about them, they're a 10, and treat them that way. You know, to treat them as if they actually are maybe more important than you.
Great. Very good. So we got first their trustworthiness. Second, we've looked at respect. And so just as before we move on to these last two and kind of wrap up, think of your business and think of where you are. And when you're hearing these examples and you're hearing this stuff, whomever Chris and I may bring on, we'd love to have you on to come talk with us as well. But think about how this relates to you, because here's the reality. Again, as we said, it doesn't matter what profession or what field that you're in. You're going to need to be a person of trustworthiness, and you're going to need to be a person who respects. So before we get to this next one, Chris, take it away for a second.
Yeah, no, just real quick, going back to that respect and how we treat others, you know, I think it's important for us. We have this idea, right? There's this mentality in which that says the customer is always right, right? And I think over the years that, you know, we've kind of looked at that and say, well, the customer's not always right. Well, that's true. The customer may not always be right. Your client may not always be right. However, again, we want to give them absolutely all the respect that we possibly can, and go ahead and let's assume, right, that the reason why this client is unhappy is because something that I have done, right, or something that I haven't done. What can I do to get this client or this customer where he or she, you know, wants to be?
Yeah, and I think that leads us into responsibility is one of our things, right?
Yeah, sure. So as we get to this next one, responsibility will be last. So you're giving us that's good, David. Remember the bucket.
Segway, so
first
bro.
First bucket was trustworthiness.
That was a beautiful segue.
I should have just went to it.
Should have just gone there.
David, man, there's where my podcasting skills need
we'll edit it and post and we'll...
All right, so hey, with that, let's
go
to responsibility.
We're
going to responsibility, so good job. So with that, so let's look at responsibility for a moment. As you're thinking through this concept of how to be responsible, as you're dealing with the customer, or as Chris said, even the client, they may not be right, but what is the right thing? Who, you know, even if I'm in the wrong or so forth, how do we display responsibility? What does that look like from an individual perspective, or even from our business as a whole? So, David, start us out there a little bit. Give us some thoughts on what responsibility looks like from an ethic perspective.
Yeah, so because you talked about having someone that maybe they're not right, mm-hmm. maybe they are upset about something. It's the ability to say, I have some power over this, mm-hmm. right? I can take personal responsibility for at least the pieces that are within my control. Mm-hmm. In BNI, we talk about the power of one.
Yep.
That power of one is the power of myself to make my own decisions and, you know, do my own actions. And I would say that, you know, that's a big piece of responsibility, being able to say, I own this. I'm going to take this and I'm going to own this thing, whether it's an issue that a client brings to you or it's an obligation that you said you would promise to fulfill. It's saying, I'm going to own it and I'm going to either fulfill it, or if I fall short, I'm going to admit readily and apologize for the fact that I did fall short and just be honest about that.
Yeah, and I kind of want to hit back on something you said as well with the competency aspect. I think mm-hmm. that's an important part of responsibility. Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that we strive at Jericho, if we're going to put it out there, then we better believe that we can do what we say we put out there. So I really think that's an important part of responsibility, is to truly be competent in the field that you are working in. So, Chris, and this kind of gets back to that specialization again, and I don't necessarily mean to take us down that road per mm-hmm. se, but that competency, I see a direct correlation to responsibility, and I see that, like, you can't, there's just so much you can't do. So focus on the things that you can do. Maybe take it a little bit further. Help our audience here. Like, okay, how can I become very responsible in whatever field that, you know, I'm in?
Well, you know, I think one of the, again, one of the core values, right, in BNI is what? Being a lifelong learner. I think we mentioned it previously in David's episode. And so we want to be a lifelong learner. What's the purpose of being a lifelong learner? We want to constantly, first of all, we're saying what? We don't know everything.
Right? Yeah.
Number one, we're acknowledging we don't know everything. Number two, we want to learn. Why are we wanting to learn? Well, so we can be a better practitioner for our clients. We can be a better fill in the blank, right, for our customers. We can provide them with a better service. When we have individuals that are coming to you, to your business for some assistance, whatever that may be, what is your responsibility to them? Well, to provide them with the best service or product, whatever it is you're providing, that you possibly can. And so I think by getting better at your job, right, you're going to be able to provide a better service or a better, you know, good or product for those customers or clients.
So a key that maybe everybody could take away from there is just be that lifelong learner.
Yeah.
Keep learning in that area. You know, this is an area that it seems like we're hitting upon more and more, which mm-hmm. I'm appreciative of.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's this concept of continually study whatever field you're in. So, again, it's a key part of responsibility. David hit the individual aspect, taking that responsibility for yourself. Mm-hmm. We're talking about this also from your corporation. But how does that reflect to you? You know, you need to be responsible in whatever field that you're in with your customer and your client base. Last one, and then we'll wrap it up today, is this idea of fairness. Being fair, being someone who is not taking advantage of somebody else. That's kind of the first idea I have. Chris, what when you hear that word of fairness and you think of your own practice, what first comes to mind for you and why that's important?
Well, we kind of joked early on. Attorneys are not always given the are looked upon, right, with the utmost respect. We do have some bad apples out there, if you will, right, and that would be true for any field you're going to run into that. But with that being said, you know, we need to make sure that we are treating our clients fairly. Again, in my position, again, I'm helping individuals who are disabled, maybe unable to work, and so if I take advantage of their situation, right, shame on me, right? And obviously my business isn't going to last very long if I'm doing that. So whatever that may be, you mentioned, you know, taking advantage of somebody. I don't know exactly what that might look like in any particular field, but obviously we don't want to do that for sure.
Yeah, and so with that, you know, David, one of the things you're a young businessman. And one of the things that we hit upon that is so important in a previous conversation is still this idea we got to be profitable. So maybe help someone understand, like, okay, it's okay to be profitable in what you're doing. I mean, that's, you even stated in your first interview with us today that, like, if a business isn't profitable, they can't focus on the mission, that whatever mission it is that they have. So help someone maybe navigate that for a little bit, that, hey, it's okay to be profitable, but it's also not okay to be unfair to someone.
Yeah, I think this is the hardest when you're in the early stages of business, or if you're taking a hit, maybe, you know, if COVID caused financial crunch, right? You're stressed about how do I make ends meet for myself or for maybe my few employees, and you're worried about that. And so you maybe cut corners with customers, and that's not fair to them. You know, to take your problem and make it now your customer's problem.
Yeah, that's not a good pass through.
No. But I would say, it is good to be profitable. You don't want to be taking advantage of people. That's not fair. Mm-hmm. But to make the right kinds of wise decisions that are going to help you accomplish for as many clients as possible what you set out to accomplish, to fulfill your promise as a business to those clients. I want people like you guys, and the people in our BNI chapter to do as good as they can do, mm-hmm. because I want to know that I don't have to worry about, I'm just going to call some random person. I don't know if they're going to be fair to me. I want the fair businesses to succeed. I want the good ones to succeed, but they're not going to succeed if they're not profitable. If they're scraping just to make ends meet. And, we need to price ourselves in a way that's going to actually help us fulfill long-term our brand promise, so to speak.
Because I would add to that, that's actually what's best for everybody involved. If you Correct. Do it in such a way that's good for both parties. So with that, before I get to Chris, mm-hmm. I want to give an example of how that really affects us at Jericho. And hopefully yep. this will apply for whatever field that you're in, is that one of the things I have to deal with often is people want even a better deal at Jericho, or they want me to make some kind of exception for this person or that thing. And one of the things I enjoy getting to communicate to people is, look, if I make this exception or if I lower this thing for you, then in essence, I'm creating an unequal balance for all the people we're responsible to take care of. If I allow this person to get away with this situation or this rule, or if I lower this price on this merchandise, then while I may be helping you in your mind, I'm actually hurting 50 or 100 other people. And so one of the things that I think as we grow in whatever business that we're in, you have to have, as David said, that longer view of like, look, to be truly fair, I have to think of every party involved. So I have to think not only of myself, that's an important thing, but I have to think of my customer, I have to think of my future customers, I have to think of those who are depending upon me, and so forth. So have that long-term perspective and fairness. Chris, something else you'd like to add there?
Yeah, one of the things I was just thinking through here is, again, it's unfair if we over-promise and underperform, right?
Very
so
true.
I would always recommend that you under-promise and overperform, right? You're always striving for the best. Don't promise the moon, right, if you can't get there, right? And it's unfair for your clients because you're giving them an expectation that you're not going to be able to reach. So they're expecting X, right, and you provide Y, and suddenly now, guess what happens? Nobody's happy at the end. It's also not fair for your business, and it's not fair for those who work in your business because you've now given your customers, your clients, an expectation that they're not going to be able to feel. Who's going to feel that backlash?
Yeah.
Your business is going to feel it. Those working at your business are going to feel that. So it's not fair for your clients. It's not fair for your customers. It's not fair for your business, and it's not fair for your staff. So definitely always, always, always under-promise, overperform.
Wonderful way to wrap it up there. So these four things, hopefully they'll help you in whatever business you're in. Be trustworthy, have respect for all, be fair, and be responsible. So those four are great things in our ethics, and we're great to have this it's grateful to have this conversation with you guys today. We appreciate you listening.
Yeah, thanks David for joining us. Thanks Andrew, as always.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Winning Edge podcast. Please be sure to check out the show notes for contact information for each of our guests, links to their websites, and links to more information about the topics discussed in this episode. Until next week, happy networking.